Hi, this is Dave Lefkowitz. You're listening to UNC Radio, uncradio.com. Played a couple of songs there in honor of President's Day, which is this Monday. We heard James Brown, Funky President, from the Startime Collection. And then before that, Randy Newman from the Good Old Boys Collection, Mr. President, Have Pity on the Working Man. Well, we have a hard-working woman on the phone with us in the neighborhood this morning. She worked hard for 10 years on TV doing a wonderful sitcom called Alice. And then since then, she's been working hard both in New York doing shows on and off Broadway, as well as building a theater out in North Carolina, which I think is pretty amazing. And we'll ask her about that as well. But as I mentioned just before the music, Linda Lavin is currently off Broadway at Lincoln Center doing a play called Other Desert Cities. She's gotten amazing reviews. It has gotten wonderful reviews, too. She will be at Birdland on February 21st to introduce her new CD called Possibilities, and she'll be doing Follies at the Kennedy Center in a few weeks. So, yes, James Brown may have been the hardest working man in show business, but Linda Lavin, she's up there as possibly the hardest working woman in show business. Linda Lavin, welcome to the neighborhood. How are you doing?
Thank you, Dave. I'm doing just fine. Thank you. What a wonderful introduction. That just about answers all the questions, doesn't it?
Well, I'll try to find a few.
It's Birdland tomorrow night.
Oh, it's Birdland tomorrow night? Oh, I thought
tomorrow
it was the 21st.
That's February 21st.
21st.
It's the 20th. I know. It creeps up, doesn't it?
Tomorrow night
at 7 p.m.
Right, wait, today's the 19th, I think. So the 21st is Monday night.
Today, I'm sorry, you're right. I just jumped to Sunday. You're absolutely right.
Please don't deprive
me. Saturday. No, I do 8 shows a week, and I sometimes don't know what day it is. You're absolutely right. Today is Saturday. Tomorrow, I have 2 shows today at Lincoln Center. And then tomorrow is Sunday, have 1 show, and Monday night on the 21st, I'll be at Birdland with a great band headed by Billy Stritch, my musical director and the great pianist that he is and singer. And Bucky Pizzarelli is playing guitar on the date. My husband is my drummer, Steve Bakunas.
Oh.
Aaron Weinstein, a wonderful jazz violinist. And I'll be singing some fabulous songs. It's a great compilation of songs, most of which are on the new CD called Possibilities. And Possibilities is named so because of what it means in life and because it's named after a song I sang in a Broadway show in 1965 called You've Got Possibilities. And the show was It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. So the new CD is coming out Monday night, and I'm very excited about that.
Now, how did you brainstorm? I guess you worked with Billy Stritch on choosing the songs and figuring this would work
sure.
on the CD. Yeah, is that...
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you choose songs with somebody. A collaboration is essential, I think, in life, in every area of life, and certainly in creating a show. I've been doing this show now for about 7 years, and I started singing songs that... And Jim Caruso is my inspiration. He's the man who runs the Birdland series on Monday nights, and an old friend who has his own cabaret act. And I used to go and see him, and just loved watching him, and he'd say, you should do this. So he put it together for me, helped me put it together, and that was 7 years ago. It's pretty much changed over the years, because you do want to change material and put in new songs. But essentially, I choose songs that speak about who I am and the songs I grew up with and the songs that I sung over the course of my life in shows or just at home in my own living room. You know, I love doing material that expresses who I am and entertains and connects with people. It's all about connecting.
So we unfortunately don't have the CD with us here. It's not out yet officially, but what are some of the other tunes on your new CD, Possibilities?
I think It Might As Well Be Spring. I sing Small Hotel. I do a Donald Fagen song called Between the Raindrops. I do You've Got Possibilities. I do Quiet Nights, Quiet Stars, also known as Corcovado, the Jovem Brazilian song. I do a beautiful ballad, I'm in Love Again, Peggy Lee made famous.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So it's a, yeah, a wonderful combination of, well, it's a wonderful collection, I think, of the American Songbook. And I'll be adding a couple of new tunes for the show on Monday night as well. So it's going to be, and the CD is all ready to go. So very soon it will be out, and your audience can go to iTunes and
CD Baby and
like
Amazon and
all of that. Yes, yeah, it's being distributed by a company called Shikaboom.
Oh yeah,
Ghost Light Recording Company. Yeah, and so they know what they're doing, and I'll let them do it. And hope that people find me. Yeah.
Now, moving from the songstress Linda Lavin to the actress Linda Lavin, I guess it is fair to ask, at this stage of your career, and you're still doing 8 shows a week as you're appearing off Broadway at Lincoln Center, has it gotten more difficult to do the Broadway quote unquote grind of 8 shows? Or, you know, it just does it depend on the play and you're fine? It, you know, you don't feel it.
Well, you're right. It depends on the material. It depends on what you're doing. Last year on Broadway, I did a play called Collected Stories by Donald Margulies with Sarah Paulson. There were just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult when there are just two actors doing a two-act play for 3 hours twice a day. There's nobody to relieve the energy, the pressure. This is a wonderful company of 5 actors, all of whom have scenes with each other or together. I don't carry the play. My character's very important in the play. I have great lines, and the play is hugely successful. We are completely sold out, and all the audience is just studded with celebrities and actors and directors and producers who are interested in seeing this play, because it's a milestone play by a great playwright, John Robin Bates. But no, it doesn't get, I mean, in life what gets harder is the challenge, you know. If things get harder, then you learn to do them in a different way, and if it's about, you know, aging or getting older, I mean, I think that it's always been hard to do 8 shows a week, and I'd like to find the guy who invented that. And
it was a producer, I'm sure.
It was a piece of my mind. Well, as long as you have the theater, you know, you might as well do 2 shows in it, because the rent is the same for the 24-hour period. But
well, that's the brilliance, as it were, of these people who bring in Seussical and plays like that and cast them double, because the producers know if you do 12 shows a week, you know, for during the holidays, you can bring in $2 million, you know. You just double cast.
If you're doing Seussical, then the star of the show is Seussical.
Right.
And if you're doing a play like mine, then the stars of the show are Stockard Channing, Stacey Keach,
right.
You know, me. You're selling names. And with a play like, there are other shows that you can do, the big musicals, where there isn't one star name. If you're doing Hello, Dolly with Carol Channing, then she's not going to be being duplicated by somebody else for one of those shows.
Right.
And she's going to do 8 shows a week. You know, it's very individual. People like doing 8 shows a week for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years. It gives them a job to go to. It's a living, and it's a respectful living, and you're doing what you love. I tend to go toward the short run, which this is at Lincoln Center. I enjoy doing something for, 3 months at the most, and then I'm ready to move on.
Well, isn't there some
my own theater?
Isn't there some talk of moving other desert cities?
There is some talk of it. Yes, that's exactly what there is. Some talk of it. They're talking about moving it in the fall,
right,
to Broadway. Yes.
Uh-huh. Would you?
Well, the play definitely will have a life after this production, because it's just a formidable American play.
But I assume you would want to move with it. I mean, you've done your 3 months, but wouldn't you want to go and do it on Broadway if it moves?
Well, I don't know. At this point, I really don't know. It's at this point very far in the future, but we're certainly talking about it. So we'll see what happens.
Can I ask, Linda Lavin, what your process is when you're you get a script and you're going to be doing it on or off Broadway, or even if you I don't know if you act at the Barn Theater that you administer, but you get a script.
My husband and I started a theater 4 years ago, and it's called the Red Barn Studio Theater. Mm-hmm. And you can go redbarnstudiotheater.com and look on our website to see, indeed, that I have been acting, and so has he. We've done 11 productions in 4 years. We work with local actors. It's community theater, and it's a 50-seat theater. And right now we are presenting Lobby Hero by Kenneth Lonergan.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband, Steve, just directed before that play, and before that he directed Proof, which is now out as a movie. We opened with Doubt, and he and I both acted in that, and then did Collected Stories and a number of other plays, and yes, I do act in them, or I direct them, or I do the costumes, and he directs or acts all the sets. He designs and builds all the sets. So it's our little mom-and-pop theater, and the process, to answer your question,
sure,
is the same no matter what the venue is, whether you're off or on Broadway or in a community theater. The process is to read the script and see if it moves you enough to want to do it and participate in it. And then you show up for rehearsal, and you learn the lines, and you communicate and collaborate with the other players and the director and the designer, and
yeah,
you find the life of the people on the stage, and that's how you create the storytelling of a play.
Yeah, I was.
I know.
Yeah, I was looking at more of also the personal process, in the sense of, are you one of those people who have to get all the lines down first, and then you start infusing it with character, or do you start to sort of get a sense of the lines, get up on your feet, figure out who the character is, and the memorization sort of comes as part of that.
The second one is pretty much the way I go. The second one that you mentioned, uh-huh, I don't learn the lines up front. I learn them gradually and connect the lines with the behavior of the character, and the behavior comes out of the understanding of the character and what this person does or wants, or who this person is connecting with. And it's a process that is teachable, but right now in a short interview, that's about as much, I think, as I can say about what the process is. It's very different with each group of people you work with. It's different with each piece of material. I don't have one way of working. That way will change depending on the demands of the part and the play. But pretty much, I never go into a piece with the lines already learned. When you do a film and you only have one day to shoot, or not very much rehearsal, mm-hmm, you do go in with your lines learned, absolutely, because there's no time to learn lines. So pretty much everybody comes to the set to shoot a scene with their lines learned. In the theater, you have the luxury of a longer rehearsal period. And when you're working on a new play, and the playwright is right there in the room, those lines could change and be rewritten at any given moment. So there's all that flexibility and challenge, too.
Now, one of the questions that I like to ask people who have been very deeply involved in television is, especially when you were on Alice for all those seasons, did that subsume your whole life? I mean, were you from, like, Monday morning up through Sunday afternoon, did you have no life outside television, or was it structured so that at night you could have, you know, like a regular working person, a life?
Well, that's a great question. When you do a half-hour sitcom, mm-hmm, you have much more of a life than people who do a full-hour drama, which is a 16-hour day from the time you leave the home till the time you get back home. When you're shooting, literally, you're shooting a movie all day long, and when you do a half hour, you're doing a one-act play. It's 22 minutes long. You start the show usually on a Tuesday. You rehearse it. And by Friday, they bring the camera crew in, and you rehearse with the cameras. And you have the weekend off, so you do have a life. And then you come back on Monday or Tuesday, and you shoot the show in front of an audience. You usually do it twice. And then they edit the show, and then you go on to do the next script the next day. Sometimes, depending upon how close you are as a company and how it becomes easier over a nine-year period, is what Alice was on for 9 years. After a while, you can do it quicker. So you can get a day off in the middle of the week and have your weekends. And we did a half hour show in 4 days, and it's because of the skill of the company, the actors, the directors, the technicians, that you're not changing sets or settings all day long. You've got one set. In this case, the diner. You've got one set. It's Alice's house. You've got another set. You know, there aren't that many locations to have to move to. So you pretty much know who you are and where you are. And pretty much the sitcoms are done in 4 or 5 days, so you definitely do have a life and some time around the show, absolutely.
But it also, I guess, becomes on some level a second family. I'm kind of curious, like in the last couple of episodes of the final season, was there sort of a grieving process? Was it kind of like saying goodbye to, I mean, I assume the last episode was really tough. Hmm?
Well, from the time that we knew that we were going to, from the time that we knew that we were going to end the year, the season that year, and we ended the series in at the end of its ninth season, mm-hmm. and from the time we knew that, we started you know, learning to say goodbye, and it wasn't a sudden break. So that was a very gracious way to be able to end a long period of, as you say, a second family and working together with people every day and knowing you weren't going to see them again the same way. Yeah.
Now, we have just a couple more minutes with Linda Lavin, the actress who is going to be releasing a CD in just a week or so called Possibilities. She'll be at Birdland on Monday night. If you want to see her there in New York, or, of course, 8 times a week at the Mitzi Newhouse Theater doing other Desert Cities, the John Robin Bates play. I'm curious, looking back, what would be, like, the most difficult role that you've had? I know you've played Mama Rose, and lots of people say, well, it must have been that. But was it?
Well, I would say physically Mama Rose was the most difficult musical. I think it's the most difficult musical ever written for a woman in the musical world, in the American musical theater, pretty much matched by a play of Charles Bush's. Charles wrote a play called The Tale of the Allergist's Wife, and I performed that for the better part of a year and a half, often on Broadway, and that took a lot of physical agility and strength and energy. So I would say those were the two most difficult roles to sustain over a period of time. But when you have good training, and I had good teachers and good trainers, it was kind of, you know, you have to prepare as you do prepare for a marathon. Mm. And the next thing you knew, you know, you've done 27 miles, and you don't know how you did it, but you do it, and you get stronger doing it. So those were the two toughest roles, I would say. But they're tough psychologically, too. They're tough emotionally. But as far as physical and the whole dynamic of, I'm in an elevator right now going up to my apartment.
Sure.
The dynamic of developing a character, one of the toughest was The Diary of Anne Frank, which is a very painful part of our history. And that was a difficult in terms of the emotional and psychological effort that it took to recreate or to discover the situation of that life and those people in that life. So here you have it.
And I do love that. I mean, you mentioned The Diary of Anne Frank, but I do love that quote about when you decided to pick up and not live in New York, not live in L.A., but actually move to North Carolina. And one of the things you said when you were scoping out a place to live, I would love if you shared it with us. You've said it a couple of times. When you decided to move to North Carolina, one of the things that made you know that it would be okay for you to live where you're living is what was there?
Well, it was a very vital arts and theater community.
Right.
And it was a place where I could join a community and do the things I love doing, participate in theater. There's a film studio there, which is how I got there.
Oh, yeah.
And I went there to make a movie, and I fell in love with the town, beautiful city on a river, a port city. And I just felt that it was a place where I could have a good life.
Oh, and also what I was kind of alluding to was the fact that you saw there was a synagogue there, and you were like, oh, I'm not going to be the only Jew, which I found kind of funny. And one of the things that you told a friend of mine, Michael Regal, in an interview with you this past week in the New York Post, is that you're living proof that if you make changes in your life, happiness and love can come your way. So in some ways, you're lucky, but you make your own luck. Is that sort of the feeling there?
Well, I took chances, and I have faith, but I worked very hard on that. Everything that you know is supposed to happen in life is beyond my control, and it really behooves me to accept what's happening, and to change what I can, and to stay away from the things that I can't change, and to understand that. I can't control certain people or places or things, but I can certainly live with hope and the possibilities of all that there is in life, artistically and emotionally and creatively. So I tend to embrace change and the people who come along who teach me how to live. It's all possible, I think, and I have become much more serene, and I'm happier than I ever was as I accept reality in life. And the reality is, from where I'm standing right now, is very, very good. Very good indeed.
Well, it's also very good for all the folks who want to share in your talent and to see you up on stage at Lincoln Center, or to put on your CD, or you can watch, of course, reruns of Alice on TV. Linda Lavin's all over the place, so do take advantage, folks, of the wonderful work that you are doing and have done for decades now. So,
thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate that. Very respectful, and a lovely time talking with you.
It's been
Thanks
a blast.
Thanks for your attention. All right.
Have a great
best.
Weekend and some great shows. Bye-bye now.
Same to you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.